What should your second income stream look like, your second flow? Let's talk about it. Yes, 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 yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about, and whatever you focus on grows. It expands. It manifests. I say that to myself all the time. Whatever you think about comes about, and whatever you focus on grows. I often hear, I listen to a lot of financial podcasts, and one of the things this is a side note, just kind of popped in my head, but I always hear them saying, you should just put your head down and just keep investing and just, you know, ignore the news. I know why they say that. They say that because they're pandering to people who are dumb enough to freak out. And I've been there. So when I say dumb, I'm just trying to point out that it's a dumb thing to do. But it's people who panic. And so they want to keep you. So, their intent is to keep you. It's kind of like your mom saying, be careful, but if you go around telling your kid his whole life, be careful, be careful, be careful, what you end up doing is subconsciously planting in his mind, there's a lot of dangers out there and you need to always be careful. See, that's different than there's a lot of opportunity out there, you should be open-minded. And if you ask them that people, most people, yeah. But all they've programmed their children is be careful, don't talk to strangers. See, I've kind of taken a different approach with my child. I tell my son, all of the money that you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbooks, and credit cards of other people. So you need to learn to talk to strangers, son. I raised my son kind of differently. At 8 years old, I gave him an iPhone. No filters, said, here, go look at what the world is doing. Why? I don't know, we live in this weird world where we want to protect children and we wonder why we have 24-year-olds still living at home. Because their whole life you've been telling them, be careful, don't talk to strangers, you know, raise your hand if you have a question. Oh, you want to go to the restroom or raise your hand? And this is what we've sold them. We've sold children a lie and we've indebted an entire generation. No other generation has ever come out of school they were forced to go to by society and with a big fat debt on them. It's a lot like slavery. And this is the conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom is wrong. How do I know? Because I talk with people every day who went through that same system and they're broke. So, you know, what good was all this higher education if you have less money at 70 than you had at 18? I don't understand it. I don't understand where we're going with this as a society, you know? And so I've kind of taken a different approach. I've told my son, you should talk to strangers. You shouldn't hide from the world because you're 15. You should see what people are doing and you need to see the stupid parts and you need to understand the consequences of being a dipshit. And so I've tried to get that out of him at an early age. You know, when I was 14, my dad gave me a beer. I said, here, son, I have a beer. So when I was 18, 19 and free and out and in the army, I didn't become a complete lunatic and drink myself to death. I'd already drank some beers many a times with my dad under controlled circumstances. Now today, I don't know, you might get arrested for giving your children alcohol. In this crazy world we live in now where they want to legalize weed and outlaw cigarettes. It's a crazy world and we want everyone to be in debt. And conventional wisdom is wrong. And I don't begin to have the answer. I'm just pointing out things that I see that are wrong. And so I took my son out of public school. My son's never been to daycare. He's never been to public school. And, you know, at 15 years old, he earned over $30,000. Doing a business that I've never done, that I don't know anything about, and nor do I know how to do it. I don't know how to be a model. I don't know how to do affiliate marketing on social media platforms. That's not what I know how to do, but we live in a world today where there's There's no barriers. Just literally anyone can just write a book and declare. You know, it's actually not that hard to get on like Fox News and CNN. Like I studied that once. I was like, dude, because I wrote a book called You Don't Have to Die Broke. And truth is, I'm not a very good writer. I'm just trying to get across a basic message. I don't know why I wrote it. I've never made a dollar on the book. I've lost thousands of dollars on the book because I just give it away. I just like having the conversation. I just give it to people that I met. I feel kind of like an evangelist. Like, hey, here's the information. Do what you want with it. Almost like a street preacher, but for prosperity. And I kind of feel like that if you want to know, teach. And so if I go around the world teaching everyone, hey, you should really in your life focus on passive income, building a home-based business, creating cash flow, wisely spending that money and then investing it. Like, I believe that should be top of everyone's list, not survival. I don't think any of your day should be devoted to survival. I think that should be taken care of. And if it's not taught at an early age, and I don't understand why this is, instead of teaching people retirement and saving to your 65 and some, there's reports to show that people can't even see themselves as an old person. Just now turning 50, I'm starting to realize what it's about to be old. And I'm starting to realize that, well, I'm getting old. I can, for the first time in my life, I'm not growing stronger. I'm actually growing weaker. And that realization is kind of freaking. You know, I realize that, you know, there's limitations that become real, irregardless of how you think, you know. And so processing that, and it's made me more convicted than ever to teach anyone who wants to listen or have the conversation, more so to teach myself, to keep myself focused on, to give me purpose and a mission. This idea of focusing on passive income, teaching about passive income, and giving away those teachings for free and telling, listen, I'm not a financial advisor, I'm just sharing with people what I've done. You know, and I got to thinking, what is the bare minimum that a person could remove their thoughts from survival to prosperity? Because see, I mean, if you make $2,000 a month and you live in New York City, I mean, your day's consumed with survival. If you make $2,000 a month and live in Arkansas, in a small town in Arkansas, where the average income of working people is 35,000, right? 40,000. And you make $2,000 whether you go to work or not, you know, now you're looking for the best job, right? Now you're not taking the first job that comes along. You're like, hell with that, dude. I make $2,000 whether I go to work or not, so I can pay the electric bill, I can pay for the car, I can pay for my rent, I can buy my food. Unless you're an idiot, you have the basics covered. So now you can spend your days, what? Looking for the best job possible. Maybe you can begin to take some more risk. You could, you know, instead of, you start a business on the side. You I don't know, you get involved in network marketing. You actually work a job, you save the $2,000 and you begin to, you know, becoming, buying real estate, or you buy a house and you flip it. Like you all of a sudden have these options that aren't available to most people. Like most people can't do any of those things I just said. Now, some people can do all of those things and do all of those things. But a lot of people, I mean, she's a nurse. She makes a good living as a nurse, right? She's making a good living. I have a friend makes $60,000, $70,000 a year. She can go higher if she puts in a lot of overtime, but she has kids, she has a husband, can only work so much, right? Well, their lifestyle is that. And so, no, they're not struggling for survival, but they have to keep the machine going to survive. Meaning leaving that job is not an option. What if that nurse has $2,000 a month coming in, whether she's a nurse at all? That gives her options. That number is so small. I mean, you could cut it in half and say $1,000. You know, if a 20-year-old kid in college was making $1,000 a month, whether he worked or not, not making it through college probably isn't what we're discussing. You know, it's how well we make it through college, right? The survival part. Well, take it back to the 2000. If your son goes to college or your daughter goes to college and they're going to make $2,000 a month whether they work or not, I mean, it takes survival off the thing, right? Now they're just looking for the best paying job for their time. Maybe they've got a little freedom. They start a little house cleaning business. They have options now. They don't immediately need to make money. They got $2,000 coming in every month. They're going to be able to cover the basics. And so it changes life. If you're 70 years old and you're making $2,000 a month, whether you work or not, whether you get Social Security or not, imagine that. You're getting $2,000 every month. And you have been since the age of 50. You've gotten $2,000 every month that had nothing to do with your job, had nothing to do with a government check. This is money you created from investments you made in 100 different things that could be possible. I mean, you could probably meet with any investment advisor in America and say, dude, what do I need to do to make $2,000 a month passively? What do I need to do? What does that look like? Show me that. Show me the conservative way. Show me the mid-level way. Show me the most aggressive way. How is that possible? And then just work for that. Like, most people could pull that off in less than 5 years of just dedicated effort to that process. If an 18-year-old kid just said, listen, Dad, here's what I need. I need this amount of money invested in this. It'll produce $1,000 a month income. Before I go to college, I'm just going to bang it out. I'm going to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to take this job. I'm going to make that amount of money. I'm going to invest it. Then I'm going to go to college. Then I'm going to stop. Then I'm going to be a normal person. Then I'm going to follow the conventional path. Why is that never an option? Why do parents feel like, oh, we have to kick them out, or they're living here because they're broke? Why couldn't they be living at home because they're trying to get rich? Like, why is the kid living at home and not getting rich when the number's not that big? Dude, it's not that big. The amount you have to save to produce $1,000 a month passive income in any number of investments, let's say, you know, it could be in any number of things. Things that you can buy on your phone without even talking to people. This is how crazy this is. I don't know why that fascinates me so much and other people don't care one bit. I don't understand. Like, there's companies out there, like there's a company called Fundrise. You can invest in apartment buildings from your phone. From your phone. So what if instead of going to college, your kid got two full-time jobs, spent 2 years, and every single dollar that came in, he invested in something like that? Or 1 year it was that, the next year it was this, the next year it was this, and the next year it was that. While his friends went to college, your kid spent 4 years at home, working 7 days a week, two jobs. You can do it. I've been doing it most of my life. I mean, the kid's putting in 80 hours a week. He's not paying rent. You're paying it. He's living with you. His car's probably already paid for. You're already covered in his cell phone. And all this kid does is work, stack chips, push him into something that pays 10%. He could put in mortgage REITs. And some people make the case he could just put in index funds. But I mean, hey, that's better than nothing. He could put in a real estate. So the first year he makes $20,000. Goes, buys a house, first time home buyer. He wouldn't even need $20,000, dude. He wouldn't need much at all. Kid's got a job, he lives at home. They're gonna loan him money. Gets the house with almost nothing down, puts a renter in it, goes right back to work. Let's just say he breaks even. He's gonna sell the house 5 years later. Like, this is literally how simple wealth building is, but it just has to be a plan. And there's 100 different ways to do it. This is me green light thinking. I've told my son this. But here's the thing, it won't work for him if he doesn't think of it. People won't follow a plan you give them. They just, I mean, some people might. I did. But imagine if he does that. Gets 24 grand, buys a house. Back to work, living with mom and dad, driving the same truck. You're making the car payment. He gives himself maybe 50, 100 bucks for play money. Head to the grindstone. The following year, boom, buys another house. Back to work, boom, same thing, right? And then maybe he diversifies. The next time he puts the money into an income fund and he's not saving for a house. And so at the end of 4 years, he owns 3 rental properties and an income fund totaling in excess of $100,000 producing,
what?
That would produce $1,000 a month, positive cash flow. Not to mention, he now has 3 homes that are appreciating at 5% a year. Let's say they're $300,000 houses. You know, what is that? It's $15,000 a year. His net worth is going up by $15,000 a year if he just breaks even. And he did this instead of going to college. This is just one of 100 ideas. But this is not conventional. This is families working together to build wealth. But in order to do that, dad would even have to know what that looks like. That's what I've told my son. I said, what if we just skip the house thing? Because I understand the house thing. I did the house thing. What if we thought bigger? See, my problem is, what made me a dummy, I didn't think big enough. I'm writing books on finance. I sold 55,000 books to people in network marketing. I've sold millions and millions of leads. I was fairly successful at email marketing on the internet. And throughout all of this, it never occurred to me to think, buy apartment buildings, like buy storage facilities, buy trailer parks. Why am I going house to house to house to house? Why did I do it the hard way? Now, I'm proud of myself, and this is the course that I've chosen, and this is what I'm doing. My point being, my God, what if I did that with my child? What if I said, no, skip the house, bang the money the whole 4 years, go all in on a 20-unit apartment building, oh, and then go to college. So you're going to come out of college 4 years after your friends, guess what? When your friends, 4 years after they come out of college, still have a negative net worth and still owe student loans. That's the conventional path. This is how stupid that is. Like, that's how easy you could work around that. Take 4 years, don't go to college, work your ass off, put every single dollar into investments. At the end, you then could go to college and, if you wanted to, borrow the money. But I'm going to say you probably developed a little bit of a work ethic. You could now drop down from having 2 jobs and working 60 to 80 hours a week, 7 days a week. Drop down to maybe working 40 hours a week and then go to college and pay for it. You own $300,000+ of real estate and have a $25,000+ in an income fund. And now you're a lowly college student with a part-time job or maybe just a full-time job. Oh, and you're 24 years old instead of, you know, and now your friends are coming out broke. Like, look how easy it is to, with a series of decisions, to change someone's future. And I think back 7 years I spent in the Army, to get out of the Army having a whopping $12,000. I was in 2 combat zones. I spent over 2 years of my life living in a freaking tent, not being even able to spend money. And all I have to show for it after 7 years is a divorce, child support, and 12,000 bucks. My dad dropped me off at the MEP station with $700 in my pocket. And I'm coming home 7 years later with $12,000. I've been divorced and I own nothing. But I got a work ethic. I didn't have a picture of what wealth looks like, of ownership. The Science of Getting Rich teaches this idea that wealth comes from the ownership of businesses and properties. And today it could be trademarks, it could be brands. But you own things that produce money. You know, as long as you can hold your job down, you own that job, right? As long as you keep your investments, they're going to keep making you money. And so your job is to become a steward of these things, to hold these things and keep these things. And that's how people become rich over time, holding assets that produce money. And so what if at 24 years old, you're already at the place where you have $1,000 a month passive cash flow, and you just begin to make wise decisions? You don't have babies out of wedlock. You get a decent degree, or you don't go. Maybe you get some business degree, I don't know. And when he doesn't need the passive income, he compounds it, he reinvests it. He tries to make his living without using it. So now the passive income creates a consistent compounding stream of ever-growing personal net worth. Meaning all you gotta do is nothing. This is the beauty of this. This is why guys that own apartment buildings get so rich. All they gotta do is break even. Most of those guys, they're in groups. They're doctors, they're lawyers, they're business people. They do something else. They work another job and they are part of a group of people who invest into an apartment building. Well, the apartment building may have 100 apartments. You know what happens to the value of an apartment building if the rent on every door goes up $25? $25 times 100 is $2,500 more a month. What is that a year? $30,000? They just raised the value of their investment $300,000. It's all exponential because of the leverage of the 100. So every time they raise the rent $25, the value of their property just went up $300,000. So if all they do is break even, but consistently raise the rent $25, oh, and the property's going to appreciate by 4 to 5%. And an apartment building's what, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million, $5 million? They didn't pay that. They put down $300,000, $600,000, depending on, you know, what size. They put down 20, 30%, probably 30%. So what if instead of going to college, your kid just saved up $300,000 by working two full-time jobs for 3, 4, 5 years? Now he owns an apartment building. His $1 million 20 unit is appreciating by $50,000 a year. Plus every time he raises the rent, the value of the property goes up. And he collects all this money, he doesn't use it, and he compounds it. Do you see how so simple, just a simple decision of deciding to follow a path of building wealth instead of a path of just employment to survive? The amount that it takes to get you to financial independence is so small. People think it's everything. It's paying all your bills. No. It doesn't need to pay all your bills. If you're living right now only on Social Security, wouldn't an extra $1,000 a month from passive income, from something you did 40 years ago, wouldn't that be nice? And that's how simple this process is. Like, people that are 60 could decide to participate in that. Figure out the way that they are comfortable with, the way they want to do it. In other words, it's not as hands-on. This isn't the 18th century. You don't have to build the freaking railroad to invest in the railroad. Like, you understand that. Your family living in the trailer park in Arkansas could have railroad investments that pay them dividends, but you just choose not to know about it, not to study it, not to be as if you're too, like, you're not capable of it. You're just not choosing a path of wealth. Anyone can choose that path in this world. Like, veterans can get into real estate with literally no money down. All you have to do is have a good credit score. Like, all you have to do is kept your word. Like, literally, all you had to do is just paid everyone back that you said you would. Your word. And they give you real estate for no money. You don't have to stay there. Kid doesn't have to move in. He can just rent it. I didn't know this. So when I got out of the Army and I spent 5 years living with a girlfriend and living in apartments, I could have just bought a house with no money down. No money. Put a renter in it. And then all I had to do was take on the hassle. You'd be shocked how many people are kept poor because they don't want any problems. 2 days ago, I had a house catch fire. 4 months ago, I had a tree fall on a house. About 6 months ago, we had a computer crash that we thought was fatal. Like being an entrepreneur, being an investor, doing these things, not being a slave, it requires you're going to have problems. This is why we study money. This is why you study investing. If you knew how stupid most investment advisors were and how quickly in today's world you can learn everything they know, and you didn't pursue it, just choosing ignorance, fighting for poverty, like you just, I'm convinced most people fight to be poor. They'll argue with you. Dude, tell a poor person things they can do to get rich and watch the reaction. I do it all the time. If you've ever called me and I get the impression you're broke and I push on you, the number of people who fight, like it doesn't make them mad they're broke. They fight to explain why they chose that. They're trying to make sense of it. The number of clients that I've spoken to who tell me that in America, you know, average guys and, you know, this is how the common people. No, it's not. That's people who've chosen to put their head in the sand like an ostrich and not take part in the capitalist system that is available to anyone. Anyone, regardless of age or race or financial situation. I mean, you can play these games with $50. Like, what would be the argument other than it's just not enough money? People ask me that. How much money do you need to get started investing? A dollar? I mean, don't be a dipshit. Whatever you want to put in. That's not the problem. The problem is you're not putting anything in. People want to know how little or what should I buy? You need to know what to buy. You need money. Don't buy anything. Just stack cash. Remember what I told you in that scenario? I had the kid get to $25,000. Why? Because $25,000 is hard. And it's also just enough money that now you got to be smart. Your kid or you, I keep using a kid as an example, but it doesn't have to be a kid. It could be you. This is what I did. I just worked my ass off, mowed yards, made extra money. And I took that money and I put it into investments. No one said not to. Anyone can do it. Anyone. When times are good, this is when you should be doing it. And that's the problem with debt, because when times are bad, the first thing you're going to stop doing is investing. Just because times are bad, you shouldn't stop. And so it has to become a priority. And these people you see all around you who are rich, the Kardashians aren't rich because they're stupid. They're rich because they're smart. Because every day they wake up, rise to grind to get rich. Rich people don't work for survival. They're past that. And so one of the primary keys to getting rich and building wealth is you can't work for survival. If you're in survival mode right now, never take a day off until you're out of it. That would be my advice. You can't prosper when you're trying to survive. People will call me all the time with this. You know, I promote an affiliate program. If they join me and they promote it, I actually make money. And people they refer make money. That's called sales, affiliate marketing, right? So I do that. And the guy will be like, hey, I'll get in when I get paid on Thursday. Dude, we're talking like $30 buy-ins, $30 product orders. I'm dealing with a person in survival mode. Like they're still trying to survive. If you're out of survival mode, $30 doesn't make or persuade or change your decision. You just do it. You don't go to the store and go, well, I really want this. I'll come back next Tuesday when it's $30. Unless you're in survival mode, right? You're in survival mode. How do you know you're in survival mode? You want a book and the book's $28 and you don't buy the book. Survival mode. Can't prosper in survival mode. We'll pick this up next week. I get to talking and get a little long-winded. You cannot prosper. This is what I want you to take away from this. You cannot prosper when you're trying to survive. If you're hunting to eat and you don't have food stored, you get it? I know you get the metaphor. We have to get you. You have to get you out of survival mode.